Support our ducks. And then I like that you have to be married. By the way, that's a good comment, though, because, you know, I've talked to couples before, and, you know, they come in talking about how they're, you know, they want counseling on sex and everything. I said, wait a minute, are you guys married? Yes. To each other? Well, not to each other. Well, hey, wait a minute now. You've got to ask all the questions these days to make sure you're clear on exactly what's going on. So not only do you have to be married to come to this, but you have to come with the person you're married to. Little extra criteria there. Aren't you glad God's a forgiving God? Yes. Amen. We'd all be in a mess if He wasn't. And some of us have things that we just thank God it's under the blood of Jesus, it's in the past, and we just get to start fresh today. Isn't that good? All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Thank God for the Word of God. I want to talk to you tonight about controlling what you see. The series is entitled, What You See is What You Get. I want to talk to you about controlling what you see. This is so important that you learn to control the pictures and the things that you see in your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, we read some of this last week. I'm going to read a little bit larger portion of Scripture this week. Proverbs 4, beginning at verse 20. Let's read here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them, my words, depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That shows you right there how powerful God's words are. They're not just words out of a book. These words can actually heal your body. Health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. The things of life. Life comes out of your heart. We don't realize that. We think life comes toward us, not realizing that really the outcome of our life comes out of our heart. We don't realize that, but it's true. The outcome of your life comes out of your heart. Somebody said, no. I was born into this background. I was raised in this family. I was raised in this socioeconomic status. It's not my fault. I was raised in this. That's why my life is like it is. That may have been where your life started, but the reason why your life stayed there was because that socioeconomic status and that opinion of yourself was in your heart, and your heart allowed those circumstances to stay that way. Your heart did not demand that the circumstances would change, because that's not who you are. You're not just some Joe Blow with nowhere to go. You know, you are somebody in the kingdom of God. You've got God on your team. Everything is slanted your direction. If you can see that in your heart, you'll walk around and talk like that and act like that and watch everybody else and everything else begin to realize that you're not who they thought you were. But if you don't realize it, you'll stay in that same place and assume that the outcome of your life is due to the circumstances around you, the place you were raised, the way you were raised, the economic status that you were raised with, the way that you talk to people and so on, the way that they treat you. You'll think that you're limited to that and it's not your fault. And maybe you started there and that wasn't your fault, but where you end up is up to you. Did you know that? It's up to you, because God's got something better for you than where you started. There's not a person born on the earth that God wants them to end up at the same level that they were at when they were born. There's not one person on the earth. Notice again, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Now, it doesn't really emphasize whose lips they are. Put perverse lips far from you. That would include you not speaking perversely. And that would include anybody else that does speak perversely, for you to stay away from them as far as you can. Get away from them as far as possible. Don't hang around that. Why? Because words paint pictures. Right? Remember that whole concept? Words, and I said the white cat. White fluffy cat, and you can see that cat in your mind, right? Because words paint pictures. You don't think in letters and words and sentences. You think in pictures. As I say black dog, you can see that dog. If I say black dog and I'm standing next to him with a baseball bat, and I clunk him on the head. You can see me doing that, can't you? Now, you can really see it if I say I'm going to clunk the cat, right? Right? I mean, because that's a more accurate, I would never do it, but it is in my heart more than it is a dog. God forgive me, but Dearmans are not cat people. And I keep saying that to my kids because I want those words to create pictures. We don't do cats. Now, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Notice who is responsible to do that. Well, these are my friends. Well, those are your friends because you allow them to be your friends. Yeah, but I can't. Okay, you can't. You have no choice. Well, I do have a choice, but I'm not. Oh, that's where we're getting to right now. You're not going to. People want to obey what they want to do and what feels good a whole lot more than they want to obey what God says to do. What did God say for you to do? Well, I don't want to. Okay, well then don't do it. Just stay right where you are, Mac. Well, I don't like that. Yes, you do. My wife said something good that she, to me, this one time, no, the other day. And it might, I don't know if you picked this up from Debbie or somebody else, but I think she said she did. She said that the pain of being where you are has to exceed the pain of changing before you'll do it. In other words, the reason why many people won't change is because it doesn't hurt bad enough where you are. Oh, I do. I hate that. You don't hate it bad enough to change? Changing hurts worse to you than staying right where you are. And when it hurts bad enough, when you want to change something in your life bad enough, and it hurts bad enough, and it hurts more than the pain that it'll take to change, you'll change. But the reason why you don't change is because you perceive that the change is going to hurt more than the pain that you're experiencing right now. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. You do it. And put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Don't let your eyes wander. In fact, everybody say that with me. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Say that. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Say that. And your eyelids look right before you. That means don't allow your eyes to be looking at things that they ought not to be looking at. Well, it was right there. Just because it's right there doesn't mean you ought to look at it. Have you noticed they're opening up these gentlemen's clubs all over the place now? I mean, they're just coming up, and you can't drive down the freeway without seeing the billboards advertising. You know, if you're a gentleman, come in here. Oh, let me tell you, that's not a gentleman's club. No. But they're all over the place. Well, you know, like one guy, goodness. There was a good guy. There was a good guy coming to church here. And he was excited. So he got saved, received Jesus into his heart, and he wanted to get baptized. So we said, yeah, we put him through that class, you know, and then it came to the week to get baptized. He got baptized, you know. They put him down in the tank over here, and we were all excited and warm, you know. And then I think it was Dave talking to him afterwards, saying, hey, congratulations, you got baptized and everything. He goes, yeah, it was great, you know. And he said, yeah, last night we had to, my friends all took me out before I got baptized because they knew that was going to be the clincher. Well, yeah, well, what did you do? Well, he took me to a titty bar. To a what? To a what? Went to a titty bar. What? You did what? Yeah, because they knew I was going to get baptized, so we thought this is our last chance. Yeah. And what Dave's doing right now is what he was doing right then. Right out here in the hallway, he told him that. You know, people walking right by, you know. Well, just because you're going to get baptized doesn't mean that you got to go out and take a look at everything that you get to look at and take it all in before you get baptized. No, no, no. Just because it's there doesn't mean that you ought to look at it. Did you know that? Just because you're driving down the freeway and there's some lady up on the billboard wearing something skimpy to advertise some product doesn't mean because it's on the billboard on the freeway that you're on that you have to look at it. You don't have to look at that. You don't have to. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Why? Because not only do words paint pictures, but pictures paint pictures. Isn't that right? And some of you know what I'm talking about, because if the enemy has at all allowed you or coerced you in any way to be able to allow pornography at any level, I'm talking about from levels that the world wouldn't even call pornography. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. That's not, they have clothes on. They have clothes on. Goodness. Clothes. How many of you would say that shoelaces do not constitute clothes? And then those that do cover, you know, you got to dunk the lady in water so you can see right. No. No, let me tell you something. We're responsible to protect our heart. And he goes on there after he says, keep your heart with all diligence, and begins to tell you, let me show you, son, how to do that. The first thing he says is, get perverse lips away from you, because perverse lips, those people that are telling those jokes all the time, and you'll notice that they are. I'm telling you, I remember being in high school. I remember being around college age people, and they're just constantly talking perverse. Now, I'm talking about even Christians. It just comes out because some people can't even talk without talking perverse. You know, everything you say has a sexual meaning. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm going to run to the store and get a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. What? I mean, they just think that way. It's on their mind all the time. You know what I'm saying? And they've got a joke, a comment, constantly, sexual, constantly. Constantly. Well, you know what? We're so used to that in our society. You can't watch Jay Leno. You can't watch David Letterman and these things not be constant. Constant. It's just a part of our culture. Look what he said here. You keep your heart with all diligence. The first thing he said is, put away from you a deceitful or a devious mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Why? Because those words paint pictures in your heart and get your heart to be thinking about things in ways you shouldn't. And more often than you should be. Somebody said, well, I'm married. So see, it's okay for us because I'm married. So I just take all of that lust and I direct it toward my spouse. Your spouse doesn't need lust. Your spouse needs love. And let me tell you something. Somebody says, well, that's not going to be any fun if it's just love. Got to have a little lust in there. Make it fun for a husband and wife, right? And a lot of Christians think that because they don't understand how fun love is. And they think love is not fun and lust is fun. No, that's not true. Lust is gratifying me. It's all about me. Love is giving to my spouse. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. But how many of you know there's also a principle, give and it will be given back to you. Isn't that right? See, God works on a completely different level than we do. Sorry for getting just right down to where we live, but this is the truth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. The next thing he says is, let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't you be looking at it just because it's there. Well, it was just a commercial, you know, it came on. And so you had to look at it, right? You had to, right? You didn't have a choice. You had to look at that, right? No, you didn't have to look at that. No. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. I was looking straight. I was right in front of the TV. It was right there. I was looking straight at you. No. You know what he's saying? Straight ahead at the Word. Straight ahead at the things that are right with God. Now, let me tell you, this is tough. If this was easy, everybody would be doing it. Every Christian would do this if this was easy. This is tough. This is tough. This is commitment. But you know what? You'll do it when the pain of being where you are exceeds the pain of changing this. To me, the pain of allowing that stuff into my heart and to allow it to do what it does in my heart to cause me to be tempted where I shouldn't be even tempted, to cause me to feel guilty where I shouldn't be feeling guilty. Instead of being joyful in my relationship with God, I've got to have all this guilt and all this wonderment, like, yeah, man, I could be doing better. And you don't realize the price that you pay for not doing it the way God said to do it. But let me tell you, it's not easy. No, it's not. In our family, I tell you what we do. You know, something comes on TV, change it. Somebody will just say, change, grab the remote, you know, we'll just change it. Sometimes Kim will say, cover your eyes, turn away. You know what I'm talking about? And she's not just talking to the kids, she's talking to me. So I say, well, are you looking? Yeah, well, how come you're looking? Yeah, she said, just girls. I don't know, you ought not be looking at those girls either. Gee. And so we have that back and forth. Somebody says, well, that's just ridiculous. I'm free. There's trust. My heart's right. My heart's pure. Feels good. I've been on the other side. That doesn't feel good. This side feels good. See? Somebody says, yeah, but that's just going way overboard. Well, seems to me like we ought to keep it with all diligence and put perverse lips far from us and let our eyes look straight ahead, not to allow that stuff to come in. Seems like that's what the Word says. You know what some Christians think? Yeah, but isn't that a little extreme to really do all that the Word says? Come on, I mean, isn't that extreme? I mean, this 2,000-year-old book, I mean, you're really going to do it? I know we read it and we kind of humor ourselves with it, you know, but you're going to do that? Yes. Why? Power. Power. The power of God can flow with you if your heart's prepared. See? Now, ponder the path of your feet. Think about what you're going to do. Think about where you go. Ponder the path. Where do you go? Ponder. Think. Where do you go that you end up being tempted? Think about it. See, notice he's giving wisdom here. Here's how to keep your heart from all diligence. Where do you go? Where do you go because there's a certain person there that you like to say hi to, but that's a little flirting thing going on there, and you know that the enemy's trying to tempt you just to flirt around and be around somebody that you know you shouldn't be flirting around with, or to see something or to hear something or to hang around. He says, ponder the path of your feet. Think about where your feet go. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Have you ever noticed if you took your foot away from evil that the rest of you would be away from it too? Right? Isn't that true? Remove your foot means remove thyself. Get out of there. Don't even be there. Well, I can handle it. God doesn't want you to handle it. He says, don't be there. Jesus prayed. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man. Lead me not into temptation. Didn't he say that? And he told us, you pray the same thing. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? Lead us away from it. Away from. We don't want to be there. See, these are all ways that Proverbs gives you right off the bat of how to keep your heart with all diligence. How to keep the pictures in your heart to be accurate with who you really are. Because if you don't see yourself as who you really are, you won't act like it and you won't become that. And then you'll blame circumstances and other people when it's really you. You didn't take responsibility for what was going into your heart and it cost you. Now, I'll tell you something that we do. We've got satellite TV in our house. Well, we locked that baby up so, you know, it only goes to a certain level of approved programming. And for good reason, too. I said for good reason, too. Now, we don't have any of the extra stuff. We don't have any of the, you know, real bad channels coming in. Just the basic package. But let me tell you some stuff in the basic package that just is not spiritually healthy. You know, I'll tell you what we do. We lock that thing down to a rating because we wouldn't want our kids to walk in there and see anything. And I tell you what, most things that our kids shouldn't see, we shouldn't see either. We lock that thing down, and there are four digits for that password. I have the first two. Kim has the other two. I can't unlock it without her, and she can't unlock it without me. So if there was some reason we wanted to unlock it, some kind of thing that we saw that was okay, that we wanted to unlock it for, Well, we both have to be there because I'm not telling her my two and she's not telling me her two. Somebody says, well, that's ridiculous. It works. It works. It works. Somebody says, aren't you going a little extreme? Yes. Yes. I am extremely living for God. I am extremely committed to walking in purity before the Lord. I'm serious. I'm an extremist on purity. Why? Because I've been on the other side and I don't like bondage. I don't like lust. I don't like guilt. I don't like condemnation. I don't like knowing that I can do something for God, but knowing that I can't do it right then because I'm not right. I'm struggling. And I'm fighting. Instead of fighting for other people, I'm fighting for myself. I thought, I don't want to be here. I want to have myself all in order and fight for other people. I want to be a blessing like Jesus. Jesus wasn't fighting for himself. He wasn't healing himself. He wasn't delivering himself. He was delivering and healing other people. That's where God wants you to be. But if you keep opening your heart and your mind to people and things and words and pictures that are bringing you in bondage, and you have to keep praying for yourself and dealing with yourself, who's going to be helping the people? God says God's trying to get his people right so that his people can be a blessing to everybody else. See? So what do? You put standards and checks and balances in your life so that your heart is pure from those things. Now, things do get in, though. Did you know that? Things do. I mean, you can keep your heart with all diligence, but stuff slips by. And I want to talk about that tonight. Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk to you about things that get into your heart. Sometimes you let them in because you weren't aware of it. Other times they slip in, you're really not sure how they got in. Ephesians chapter 6, we won't take time to read all of this about the armor of God, but I want to read verse 16. 6:16, it says, above all, most important, he could have said, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice the shield of faith. Everybody say faith. Can and will quench all of the fiery darts of who? The wicked one. Do you mean, now, is this talking to just a pastor of a church? No, if you read the first part, you'll see that this is written to the saints who are at Ephesus. And for those of you that came out of the Catholic church, when we say saints, we don't mean some really pure people that lived and you make statues out of them. That's the saints. They were probably saints. Saints are anybody who has received Jesus in their heart and has allowed the cleansing of their sins by his blood. Immediately, instantly, you become a saint. The Bible calls you and declares you a saint. So every time the Bible talks about saints, he's talking about you. Okay? This is written to all the saints, and this says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. You mean Satan and his demons are shooting fiery darts at me? Yes. Yes. I didn't know that. If you don't know that, how can you defend yourself? How do those fiery darts come? Have you ever seen one? You ever seen a fiery dart? Really, we read this and it has this imagery in it. But a lot of times we don't know what that means. You know, what does that mean, fiery darts? You know, just attacks? Is that just like hard times? My car breaks down and that's a fiery dart? What does that mean? Well, I want to couple it to show you with another scripture to show you at least a major significant part of what that means. Fiery darts from who? Everybody say fiery darts.
Fiery darts.
Of the wicked one.
Of the wicked one.
Well, who is the wicked one?
Devil.
That's Satan, right? Satan, and he's over the kingdom of darkness. God's over the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, heaven. Satan's over the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the demons, hell. That's his domain. That's his kingdom. Now, let's look over to James. Go a few books back to toward the end. Hebrews and then James. And look at chapter 3. James chapter 3, and I want to come down to verse 6. James 3, 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire. Are you there yet? James 3, 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it, the tongue, is set on fire by hell. The tongue is set on fire by hell. Now, tell me about a fiery dart. A fiery dart, or we should say an arrow, is an arrow, but it has something on the end that is flammable. And then just before they launch that arrow, you've seen movies with it in, they light that, and then they launch it. Now, the lighting of it causes more damage because it's not just the initial piercing that causes the damage. It's something that stays there and continues to burn and cause damage in that person's life or in that house or whatever that fiery dart is shot toward. That's what Satan loves to do. He just doesn't want to initially prick you and hurt you. He wants to send a fiery dart in there that will continue to burn and burn and burn and burn until it destroys you. Isn't that what lust does when it gets down into your heart? It burns in there. And it burns and burns and burns, and it's eating away your self-confidence. It's eating away your joy. It's eating away your freedom. It's eating away your feeling confident and comfortable in the presence of the Lord. It just burns and burns. See, fiery darts. Fiery darts. Well, notice here James says the tongue, in other words, people's words, are set on fire by hell. In other words, Satan, the wicked one, is launching into your life fiery darts of words that have hell's fire on them. And let me tell you what some of those are. When people are talking perversely, and it's verbal pornography, you know, just like I talked to you about the white cat and the black dog and all that, people talk about sexual things and pornography and all kinds of things verbally, and it paints the same kind of pictures in your heart and mind, and it got in there. How'd that get in there? Because we didn't have perverse lips far from us. So if we don't have perverse lips far from us, the tongue and the lips, that's the same thing. That's called words. And these words are set on fire by hell. But notice the shield of faith can quench you from all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Why? Because if you believe the word of God, you can act on God's word and put those things far from you and quench them. But if you don't believe this and all this is kind of superficial to you, or it's just kind of, you know, yeah, that's just the Bible, you know, it's a religious book, and you don't believe that you're in a spiritual battle and that these things are true, if you don't have that faith to apply this because it's life and death to you, you won't do it. And you'll allow those things to come right into your ears, right into your heart, right into your mind, and light fires that you got to figure out now how to extinguish. Words. Powerful. Now, here's another one. It's not just words of sex and lust and those kind of things. Because there are some words of sex and intimacy like that, sexual intimacy, that are positive. Read the book of Song of Solomon. Good night. Don't read it in one of the newer translations. Man, too explicit. I mean, we need to put a rating on that thing. Why? Because talking about sexual things between a husband and a wife. See, it's okay to talk about things in proper context and to be honest about it and open about it and enjoy the conversation. Really? Yes! In the right context, not in the wrong context. See, because it paints pictures in your heart that cause your heart to want to get out of the right context. And then you struggle. And you struggle. Now, here's another way the fiery darts come in. How about somebody at your office just tells you what a loser you are? They just tell you how you're not all that smart. You're not all that sharp. Or they tell you that you're not all that good looking. You're ugly. Or you're this, or you're that. And those words come in. You know what that does? It comes into your heart and it starts burning inside, doesn't it? It starts burning inside. And if you don't watch it, and I'm telling you, we watch this with our kids. Kids are cruel. Kids are cruel to one another at school. And they'll say things that are just so outright. You know, I can just see that their tongues are set on fire by hell. Now, they don't mean it. They're kids. Okay? And a lot of them were raised in homes where the language is very loose and they just say whatever they want to say, no matter how it hurts anybody, that's wrong. But they do it, and so they do that to one another at school. And so I'm telling you, kids are burning on the inside with fires of, I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'm not this, or I don't look like this. I'm not smart. I'm not, and kids constantly are coming home from school, and they have been burned by words, and those words keep eating away at them. And if they don't have somebody to help put into them something else to distinguish, to extinguish those flames and to wash out those things that have been placed in their heart, they don't have a shot at reaching their potential. They don't have a shot. Why? Because there's an enemy out here, and he knows exactly how to get to us. He knows exactly what to do. He's launching these darts, these fiery darts of words that are coming into our eyes and mind. This is why we need to constantly allow God's word to come into our heart and to tell us who we really are. Because you know what? Your boss doesn't know who you are. And your colleagues don't know who you are. Many of you, your own family members don't know who you are. You cannot listen to them. Unless they really know who you are from God, what He's made you, the powerful potential that you have, unless they know, you cannot listen to them. You've got to go back to God's Word and meditate on it. I remember walking around my room saying, I am a man of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. I am a man of God. Just saying it over and over and over and over. It felt weird to me. It felt strange. But you know what? I had read it in the Word that I am. I'm the righteousness of God. And I just kept going over. What am I doing? I am overcoming pictures that I had about myself that I got from other people being cruel and other people painting something that wasn't accurate. And I had learned from God that I could change it. And I'd also learned this: if I didn't change it, nobody else would. Even people that tried, I had to let them into my heart to speak those things. And then I had to take it to heart and begin to do it myself. I tell you what else I began to do. I began to, and I told you about this, in my car, listen to God's word into my mind all the time. All the time. I still do. All the time. All the time. Just let it feed in. Let that word of God feed in. Why? Because it's painting accurate pictures. God's word is truth. It's painting accurate pictures in my heart. And that's why it brings confidence to me, because I know who I am. See, and I want to know who I am even more accurately as I continue to grow in the things of the Lord. I told some of the staff the other day, I said, man, as much as I've learned and applied to my life, I know that there are far more levels above me than there are below me. As far as I think I've climbed with the Word and changed and been changed by God and been built in my confidence in Him and my ability to serve Him and to make a difference in people's lives, I feel like there are far more levels above me than below me. And so, see, I've got to keep striving and stretching forward to see myself the way I really am, not just who I think I am now, because I'm far better in Jesus than I even realize. Do you see what I'm saying? How is that going to happen? It's only going to happen by continuing to take the accurate words of the Word of God, either by people's accurate teaching. And by the way, not all the teaching out there is accurate. Somebody said, how can you tell? Faith comes by hearing the Word. I've been under some teaching. You walk out and you're more afraid. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Did you hear that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God preached accurately, it builds you up and you walk out thinking, man, I believe more. I'm more confident. I believe more what Jesus has done for me and what He's going to do in me. When you don't hear the Word, and it sounds like the Word, they may have even read some scriptures, but you don't walk out feeling more confident. You walk out wondering more. I don't know what God's going to do with me. Man, I hope He uses me. I hope He loves me. I hope He's forgiven. I hope He'll heal me. I hope He'll... when you walk out and you're less confident, you didn't hear accurately the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing the Word. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Now, notice again here in James 3, it's set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It is an unruly evil full of What is it full of? Deadly poison. Deadly poison. Words are full of deadly poison. Would you, if you looked up and saw a bottle, had a skull and a couple of bones crossing it, and it said, poison, deadly poison, would you open that cap up and drink it? See, then why do we allow words that are not God's word to come right into our ears, right down into our hearts, and somehow think, it won't hurt me. Notice again, it's full of deadly poison. Full of it. Now, say deadly. The thief does not come except to steal,
kill,
destroy. How does he do it? Here's one main way right here. I'm telling you, and this is probably a far better tactic that he has. He doesn't just show up in a red tight suit with a tail and a pitchfork and say, I'm the devil, let's go after it. No. This is how he comes. Do you remember from the very beginning, the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat of that one tree, but everything else you can eat. You've been made in my likeness. I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. This is who you are. You're on the top here. I'm making you the ruler over this whole thing here. And Satan comes in and questions the word of God. First thing he does, has God really said? Did God really say that? See, what's happening? Those words are coming in, causing you to doubt who God said you were. Causing you to wonder if God's laws and lines are really God's laws. Oh, we can fudge him a little bit, right? Deadly poison. The words. See what I'm talking about here? Keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence. Now look again. Deadly poison. Verse 9, with the tongue we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Now that doesn't mean cussing. That means cursing. In other words, saying words that bring cursing to them and not blessing. Now, if words were just words, you know, the little rhyme that we said in grade school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will kill you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. These tongues are set on fire by hell, and they're full of deadly poison. See, we taught the kids wrong. We were taught wrong in school. These words will kill you. These words will kill you. Notice again, with the tongue we bless God, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. We're taking people that were made in God's likeness, and they look just like him, and we're bringing cursing to them, spewing out these words full of deadly poison. That's exactly what Satan has done to you. Boy, if we could sit each one of you down in a room and allow God to show a videotape of who you really are and how you really could function, you'd fall off the chair. That's me. That's you. Why didn't you tell me? I did. I told you. That's who you are. That's what you can do. This is your potential. You can do this. You can be this. That's who I made you to be. Oh, why haven't I known that? Deadly poison. You haven't kept your heart. It's come in, painted inaccurate pictures, told you something that wasn't true. Now, does a spring... Well, no, let's look down here. I want to read verse 7. Is that what I want to read? No. I want to read look at verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Actually, I just want to capitalize on verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. I love this line. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We should not allow ourselves to speak blessing and then to turn around and speak cursing. Now, this is dealing with two different things. First of all, it's dealing with words coming into your ears, into your heart, but it's also dealing with the words going out of your mouth. Have you allowed Satan to set your tongue on fire and you speak cursings about other people out of your mouth? Yeah, but it didn't count because they didn't hear me. And you think that makes a difference. Yeah, it didn't hurt their feelings because they didn't know I said it. You don't understand words. Words don't have to always be heard. Words affect life and situations even when they're not heard. Did you know that? Words are spiritual. They're not just natural. They're spiritual. When you speak them out, just because you don't hear them anymore doesn't mean that they stopped or ceased to exist. They keep going and going and going. Words are meant to come to pass. Words are powerful. Words are what cause your spirit inside to be reborn. Did you know that? You spoke words that Jesus was Lord, and those words cause your spirit to be reborn. How long? For a second? A minute? Forever. Eternity. Because of your words, you enacted an eternal change in your life. You changed your citizenship to have a heavenly citizenship by words. And heaven is a spiritual place, not a physical place. How'd you do that? With your words. So you got to understand, these words are powerful. Now, let's look over here to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Talking about controlling what you see. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, if you're warm in here, I know it's stuffy in here, but the main compressor in our large air conditioning unit went out this week. And it was a fiery dart from the devil, I'll tell you right now. But it's going to, we're working toward getting that fixed. We just found out about it, and it's going to take multi-thousands of dollars, but thank God He supplies our need. That's the way I see it. Don't you see it like that? He supplies all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's powerful right there. I could spend a session on that. Though you walk in the flesh, that's not how you fight. If you're not fighting in the Spirit, you're missing it. I said if you're not fighting in the Spirit, you're missing it. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Who pulls them down? Isn't that funny how we'll do that? We'll take certain scriptures and we'll just kind of fling them out wherever. This says the weapons of our warfare. Paul said in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Right? Take up the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I got to do it. I thought the battle was the Lord's. No, the battle was the Lord's. He fought it. He won it. He says, you defend it. Oh, man, I got to fight the devil. Yeah, but he's already whooped. You understand? He's already whooped. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, natural, limited, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Arguments. You ever been in an argument? Christians don't get in arguments, do they? When you're in an argument with somebody, what does that mean? Is an argument different than a fist fight? Sometimes. It depends on the level of the argument. Arguments are different than fist fights. Arguments are battles of words, aren't they? words contrary to one another. Notice what it says here, casting down arguments. What does that mean? Words that are contrary. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? That means that you received knowledge from God through His Word, but there are other words coming at you that are contrary. They're arguing with what God said about your life, with who God said you are. They're arguing that you're really not forgiven, so you ought to still feel guilty. They're arguing that you ought to walk around condemned. They're arguing that you shouldn't step up to the plate and be who God's called you to be and go for it because somebody might say something and you just might not be accepted. And so they're arguing. These words are arguing. But notice what this says. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down stronghold and casting those arguments down. Now, what happens if you don't? What if you let those arguments come and you don't cast them down? They burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And you'll be limited because it's full of deadly poison. It just goes in down in there and it just eats away your life. And you'll be limited in your life and you'll wonder, why doesn't God help me? He did. He did. He told you who you were. He told you not to listen to anybody else telling you contrary words. He told you to cast those words down. Take authority over those. Cast them down. I have to do this sometimes. Somebody will say something to me that, man, it just, you know how you can tell? You can tell it instantly just steals your joy. You walk away, oh, man, I don't know if I could ever be what God's called me to be. Oh, man. Now, I'm not talking about correction. Correction will make you feel bad, too, sometimes. I'm talking about somebody that's telling you, you can't. You'll never be. It's not who you are. You're bound. Words that are contrary. What do we do with those words? Cast them down. Why? Because you're keeping your heart with all diligence. You don't allow that to come in there. Keep your heart with all diligence. Cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Say thought.
Thought.
Bringing most thoughts.
Every.
Half of the thoughts. Bringing the thoughts while you're at church into captivity. Huh? While you're in your prayer time, while you're reading the Bible. You know, not at work, right? Because you're busy then. Not when you're hanging out with your friends because that's for fun. You know, you don't bring all the thoughts into captivity then. You know, that's all. Not when you're watching TV, right? Listening to the radio. No. Every thought into captivity. Why? Because one wrong thought can start killing you. How many of you know that's true? One wrong thought. One wrong thought can kill you, can destroy your life if that thing is allowed to seep down and it takes root and you end up acting on that. It'll just take you right out of the water. Your confidence will just be gone. One wrong thought. Just one. What do you do? Take authority over it. Somebody says, how do I know it's wrong? It disagrees with what God said about you. God said you're forgiven. God said you're healed. God said you're blessed of God. God said He wants to use you. God said you're anointed. The anointing abides within you. God said the Holy Spirit's in you. God says you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God said He'll use you because the past is the past. You need to forget the past and look to the future. God says you are a man of God or a woman of God and you're called by God to get something done for the kingdom. Anything arguing with that is an argument against God's word. It's a thought that needs to be taken into captivity and declared to be a lie. It's not true. Not right. It's not true, right? Now look at Isaiah. Isaiah, way back toward the middle. Isaiah 54. I'm talking about controlling what you see in your heart. So important. Controlling what you see. Boy, if I were to ask somebody, if I could come over here and we could get this church going and, you know, this thing would get rocking and rolling within, you know, just a short number of months and lots of people would come. You know, a lot of people put their arm around me and say, listen, I used to think the same thing, but just don't get your hopes up too high. See, don't get your... If you don't raise your expectations too high, then you won't be disappointed. You just need to know it just takes a long time, and it's up to God. Only God can determine all of that. Well, see, God had already spoken into my heart what He was going to do. He'd already painted a picture inside. Now I've got a choice. Am I going to stick with the picture that God spoke into my heart? Or am I going to allow somebody who, for one reason or another, didn't get things to come to pass quite the way they wanted to come in and tell me that it's not going to work for me? I'll tell you what probably happened to them. Somewhere along the line, somebody spoke words into their heart, and it made them get full of doubt and fear. And they acted on that fear and tried to protect it. And in the process, they lost it. Because you can't protect it. You can't do anything out of fear and expect it to work. It has to be full of faith. Isaiah 54, the last verse in the chapter says, "Only a few weapons formed against me shall prosper. Only the weapons that have worked before are going to get through, but doggone it, nothing else. But that only the weapon that's my major weakness. Only this one." No, what does it say? "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Notice this. "And every tongue which rises against you in judgment." Notice he's talking about a weapon against you, then he goes right into talking about a tongue. Isn't that interesting? Huh? "Every tongue which rises against you in judgment," judging you, "God shall condemn." Is that what it says? "The Lord shall fight it for you." The Lord will condemn it, cast it down. Is that what it says? No. Let's read the whole verse again. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." You. Not God. No, you. Have you been condemning them? Have you been saying, "No, that's not true"? Now, that doesn't mean you have to say it to the person, to their face. You understand? You don't have to say, somebody says, "Well, don't, hey, that's a lie. Don't tell. I'm not listening to that. I don't receive that, brother. I don't receive. No, I don't." You know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. See, don't freak out and get all weird. Just smile at them real big. And then when you walk away, say, "No, I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." See, it belongs to you. See that? This is the heritage. It's our heritage to be who God has called us to be. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness, listen to this, God steps up and says this last line, "And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Look how it changed. The whole person talking here changed. And God starts talking, obviously, to your judge, whoever it is that's judging you, your criticizer. God says, "And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." What does that mean? Anybody tries to come and say, "Yeah, but they did this and they're still struggling with this," and then God just steps up, grabs you, shoves you behind Him, and says, "Their righteousness is from me." Well, what are they going to say to that? "I gave it to them." You got something to say? Case closed, right? I rest my case. You understand? See, God just steps up and says, "It's from me." In other words, when you condemn those words, God stepped up and said, "That's right. What they're saying is right." See, God can defend you. But if you don't, you just stand there and let it attack you. You chose it. You chose it. You chose to have it. It belongs to you. I even got a watch, man, when I'm around certain places and I see paintings that are supposed to be, you know, Christian or religious paintings. Man, I got to watch myself because it paints the wrong pictures. Just because somebody painted some picture that they think is religious doesn't mean that's an accurate picture. Bothers me when I see these little squirrely girl angels. The blonde hair, you know. Little skinny. The Bible doesn't say the little squirrely girly angels. Every time the Bible talks about an angel, it's a big, strong, masculine figure. Always male names. Big guys. Now, we know that they don't have any gender, but they always have masculine names, and they're always referred to as some big, strong guys. I'd rather see a big, old, strong angel But even seeing it in a painting doesn't really depict it accurately, because we start thinking about strength in the natural instead of spiritual strength. Jonathan asked me, Dad, talking about a big T-Rex, Dad, dinosaur. I said, sweetie, you don't have to be afraid of any dinosaurs because you have angels. Can an angel beat up a dinosaur? Shoot, Jonathan, are you kidding, man? Take that dude by the tail and fling him around and chuck him to where you'd never find him. Really? Yes. They're that strong? Yes. See, you can't picture that kind of strength. We don't understand it. You can put some big old guns on the guy and you still don't get it because you don't understand this is spiritual power. See, you got to be careful of those little religious paintings. And you see a little weak old Jesus, you know, with a lamb in his arms. Goodness. He wasn't some little wimpy, you know, barely, you know, able to stand up kind of guy, frail. No, he was raised in a carpenter's home. Man. Goodness. See, you got to be careful of all of that stuff. But let me tell you a way to control some of this going on in your mind. I want you to do something, all of you. I'll show you just a little demonstration of how you can control your mind. I want all of you in your head, in your mind, when I tell you to start, I want you to count from 1 to 20, just not too fast, just 1, 2, 3, 4. I just want you to do that in your mind when I say go. Ready? Not out loud. Just do it in your mind. Ready? Go. Okay, now tell me your name and address out loud. Come on, everybody. Out loud. Name and address. Tell me. What is it? Name and address. What is it? Throw your phone number in there, too. What is it? See? What happened to your counting? Stopped, didn't it? You know why? Your mind always has to stop to see what your mouth is going to say. And here's what we noticed from the Word of God. You want to know how you cast those arguments down? You defend them verbally, not mentally. Never get into a mental war with Satan. Did you hear what I said? Never get into a mental war with the devil. You will lose that mind area. Out here floating around. That's where he's good because you can't see him. The Bible in the 6th chapter of Ephesians talks about one weapon. Everything else is defense. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now there are two Greek words for the word word. One is logos. One is rhema. Logos would be established word. We use it a lot for the written word of God. Something that was said. There it is. It's his word. That's his word. That's a document. That's his word. Rhema is spoken word, verbal word. This is what he's saying. This is something said verbally. The word there in Ephesians 6 is rhema, not logos. See? Not logos. Not your Bible. You can't do this. Where are you, devil? Can't do that. You can't. That's not going to do any good. You can't fight him with a Bible like this. No. You fight him with the spoken word of God. You cannot beat him in your mind, but you can beat him with God's words coming out of your mouth. In fact, I'll show you an accurate picture. John on the Isle of Patmos, when he was receiving the revelation to write the revelation, the book of Revelation. And he saw Jesus, and there was various things that he described there. But one of them is he described Jesus with the sword. Do you remember where that sword was? Was it in his hand? Where was that sword? Coming out of his mouth. What a strange place for a sword. But let me tell you something. If you only have this sword in your hand, you're going to lose. This sword doesn't hurt any spiritual being in your hand. This sword only works coming out of your mouth. The sword of the Spirit is the spoken word. Somebody says, hand me my sword. That's not your sword. I tell everybody, that's not your sword. That's a Bible. It doesn't become a sword till it gets into your heart and it comes out of your mouth with faith. And then let me tell you something, it'll do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. When your mind is receiving these words of condemnation, accusation, and by the way, these words not only come from people, but they come from Satan's kingdom in your mind. You must go verbal. You cannot fight in your mind. You must be verbal. Your mind will stop whatever it's thinking right then. This is how you take captivity. Begin to say, that's a lie. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm forgiven. I'm not discouraged. I will not be depressed. No, I will not be a failure. I'm a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. You do that and just go scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And somebody said, I don't know that many scriptures. Say one over and over and over and over again. But every time you say it with a little more punch, pizzazz, meaning, faith, confidence, and say it. That's who I am. Yeah, I'm right. I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah, I'm a winner. I'm going places in you. Woo, he's going to do some things with me. As you talk, those words are going down in your heart too. You don't think you can escape your own words, do you? Those words are going down in your heart, painting pictures of who you really are. You'll start seeing yourself doing stuff. Ooh, man, look at that. I remember when I was meditating, lay hands on the sick and they were recovered. I saw people healed in my heart. See what I'm saying? I saw them healed here before I ever saw them healed out here. And I've seen people healed out here too now, but I saw them here first get healed. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about controlling. Fight verbally, not mentally. Capture those poisonous words with fire in them. Snag them verbally and say, no, you're a lie. No, that's not who I am. I'm free from that. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm forgiven. And say it over and over and over and over and over, because it's truth. I was praying one time and going over some things about spiritual authority. And the Lord interrupted me. I was preparing for a message, meditating on things. The Lord interrupted me, and he just asked me a question. He said, do you know what you'd see if I opened your eyes to see the spirit realm? And I was excited. What? I mean, he's really going to let me know right now. I mean, you know, and I knew I'm going to go out there and tell everybody too. God's going to let me know what we'd see if he opens our eyes so where we could just see the spirit realm. He said, do you know what you see if I open your eyes? I said, what? He said, you would see exactly what my word said was happening. You'd see Satan going around seeking whom he may devour, to steal, kill, and destroy. You'd see him and all of his demons doing the same thing. You'd see the Holy Spirit walking around in some people dormant. They never give him opportunity to do anything. You'd see the angels that are standing around watching people, watching Christians even, get in car accidents and be just taken away because they have no idea about how to empower those angels by speaking the word of God. Those angels have no choice but to stand there. I thought they were given charge. They are given charge. But the word says that they excel in strength and they do the word of God and they heed the voice of the word of God. If you don't voice the word of God, they don't know what you want them to do. Really? Yeah. See, all these things work. They work. They're real. And he said, you would see exactly. He said, when you resisted the devil, you'd see him flee. I said, man, that's deep. And I thought, why didn't I believe that, though? It's true. It's true, isn't it? See? Don't ever be the same again. See, God is showing you right now. Here's how you can change your whole life. Ready? Take God's word and never let anybody or anything come into your eyes or your ears or out of your mouth that's not according to what God said you are. And any word that God has given you in the past, by the way, any prophetic word that you know to be from God, and including this word of God, meditate. Start saying them. Get them out again. And start saying, this is who I am. This is who I am, and I refuse to be anything less than this from this day forward. I'm telling you, it'll change your whole life. Never be the same again. And people around you start saying, what's the matter with you? Not a thing anymore, right? Let's stand up. Thank God. Praise God. Lift your hands and let's thank God for his word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your cleansing word. Praise God. I was just reminded of the scripture that we need to wash one another with the washing of the water by the word. So it's the Greek word rhema, spoken word. We're going to wash away all of those pictures. We're going to hose down our hearts and clean up our minds by God's word and begin to be who he's called us to be. There's nobody stopping us but our own lack of taking authority over these things. Thank God. Everybody say this. Say, I'm a lot more than I thought I was. I'm not a failure. I'm a believer. God has a plan for me. I've been lied to. and I bought the lie. But from this day forward, I refuse to buy it. I'm not a sinner. I don't have to be guilty. I don't have to walk around condemned. My righteousness is from God. And I declare, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue, every word that comes against me, I cast it down. I condemn it verbally. I am a child of God. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I'm right with Him. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but they're mighty in God to pull down strongholds, to pull down bondages, to pull down wrong thinking, wrong behavior, wrong patterns, wrong habits. I cast down arguments, words that are contrary to the Word of God, fiery darts from people or Satan in my mind, in my ears, in my heart. I cast those down. I declare them to be a lie. God has a plan for me. He's already seen it. He's already declared it. He's already said I can have it. He's given it to me. It's mine for the taking. I will not be limited. I will not be denied. I will be who God has called me to be, no matter what anybody says. Because I've got His Word. That's a promise. And I declare, it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. So Satan, you take your hands off me. I resist you now, and all of your co-workers. I command you to stop in your operations and to desist in your maneuvers. I believe God's word from this point forward, and the rest of my life is going to be a thrill. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let's thank God. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Woo-hoo! I just saw a picture of the devil's face. Man, he's sad about this. Not all those guys. Not all those guys. Man, he had enough problems just handling a few of us. Now he's got to deal with all of us, right? Woo-hoo! Thank God. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's do this. Before you're dismissed tonight, just turn to a couple of people, look at them right in the eye and say, man, you don't know what's in store for you now. Come on, tell them. You don't know what's coming.